Okay, so Jaden is going to come and share his story. Woohoo! Let's give Jaden a hand. Okay, Jaden is really excited about getting baptized today, right?
Yeah.
And do you want to tell everybody here why did you decide to get baptized?
Because I want to start a new life following God and Jesus, and I love God, and I know that He loves me too.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Woo! And Jaden, you've experienced God. Like, you really know He's a part of your life. You know that you have a relationship with Him. Can you share a couple stories about how you know that?
One night, I got home from school, and I was feeling really upset because I did something wrong, and I wanted to do the right thing. So me and my mom prayed, and we listened, and I saw an angel that night.
Awesome. Okay, do you want to share your second story?
Yeah. Just a few nights ago, I was feeling a bit nervous about getting baptized. So me and my mom were praying, and I had just a little picture in my head of me standing in a clear lake with Jesus. He put me under the water, and I came back up, and I felt good, and like nothing could ever stop me again.
Awesome. And another thing, Jaden, we talked about is often when we say yes to Jesus, right, we're saying no to other things in our life. And are you okay if I just share that, what you shared? So Jaden is really feeling like there were habits in her life, and she knows that sin is still is with us, right? It's just going to be with us till the end of the day, until we meet Jesus. But there's ways that we can say yes to Jesus and say no to that stuff, right? And so something that you were struggling with, you realized you're going to say no to that. And say yes to
Jesus.
Yes, awesome. Okay, and we're going to call up, is it Luann next to share? And then we're going to go over some vows after that. Let's give Jaden another hand.
Yeah, Elvin and Luann, why don't you come to the front? Cool. Morning, Levine. Haven't seen you yet. And kids. Okay, you guys got to know, if you haven't met these two yet, they've been a part of us on and off for 2 years. And, just come on right here so everybody can see you guys. Because I know that's exactly what you want, right, Luann? Because that wouldn't make you feel nervous at all, right? Seriously amazing family, just hanging out a little bit last night and at other times just talking to them. They have an incredible story, and so just ask them, Luann, just let me start with you for a second. Oh, don't evade me, girl. Okay, hide behind Alvin. You're on a step, and you're still shorter than Alvin, eh? Okay, well, just you can hide behind there, but let me... What should we at least ask you? Say your name.
Hi, I'm Luann.
Okay, just what's one thing about you, Luann?
I'm a mother of 10, and I have 2 grandbabies.
Okay, Kukum, that's worth a hand, eh? That's seriously awesome. And she's a great mom, and your daughter's just come back from Saskatchewan or something to join you guys?
Yep. We have... Seven of them are here, and we're just missing 3 right now.
That's so cool. They are seriously amazing parents. I think they're amazing. Like, they're just counting their kids on, like, are you pretty sure you have 7 kids here? I thought they were amazing. Okay, I take it back. No, they're amazing. Not to put you on the spot or anything, but... Have you been a Christian a long time, Luann?
I was born into the system, and my foster family that raised me.
Okay, the system. We all know about the system.
Well, I was apprehended from child welfare from my birth family, and I was placed into a wonderful foster home. And they were daily going church people, and as a child, I was...
Wait a sec, daily? Whoa, that puts you guys to shame. Okay, anyway, sorry. No, wait, Jess, I'm kidding.
There were church-going people. I was raised in Christianity my whole youth life. To me, as a youth, it was more of going with the emotions and not really understanding about God or Jesus and everything. And then through my teen years, I lived on the streets and everything and lived that lifestyle. And through that, all I knew God was there for me. He helped me out through the darkest times.
Can we just pause for a sec? Some of you really need to hear that. Like, some of you are on the streets right now. And look at this girl right now. Think about it. Think about what you just heard in a nutshell. Luann, you packed a lot into a couple sentences there. You knew what it was like to live on the streets, but you still knew that God had not given up on you and he was with you. Like, they need to hear that, some of them. Just even to look at you right now, like, makes my heart kind of burst with hope. So, I mean, keep on going. But that to me is, I mean, thank you for saying that.
Through my young adult years, I had a lot of struggles of being a single mom, being in abusive relationships, and one of the biggest things that broke my heart, and I became so mad at God that I wanted to blame him because I didn't understand him. He said he took my partner. And I lost 4 babies, and I became so angry at God. I didn't believe in anything. I didn't want to believe in nothing. And then I started going back to church. I started praying. I started praying at home by myself, knowing that there was something more out there. Started going to different churches, trying to find the right place to belong, because I know I was born an Aboriginal. I know I have teachings, and I know that that God put me in a home where I learned about Christianity, and I love that so much. And
can I ask, was that hard? Like, some people didn't want you to be both Aboriginal in a traditional way and a Christian?
Mm-hmm. We weren't. Some churches that I practiced at didn't allow me to be me. And on my journey, I didn't even know who I was because I had my heritage, my identity taken away from me. And I was lost. I felt like... Like I was telling my partner last night, I can relate with Job. I felt like Job, and then I felt like I could relate to Jesus. No matter what I went through, I was going through, I was always helping people. I was always doing what I could do to help others, to try to figure out about myself. But I was always being condemned and punished for being an Aboriginal. It was so bad that I used to lie to my kids and tell them they were Chinese or Spanish just because I couldn't accept who I was and I couldn't accept them for who they were. And when I prayed for answers and to find who I was and to find acceptance somewhere in life. At the end of the book of Job, he received everything back. I lost 5 babies. I lost a partner. But in the end, I've been blessed with a beautiful partner. And I've been blessed with 5 beautiful children. And we've been on a long healing journey of dealing with our past presence. And if I didn't lose my faith, I'm glad I didn't lose my faith totally, that there was still a light flickering, because I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't without God and without having Jesus dying on the cross for my sins to be where I am today. So I'm so grateful for him and everything that he was with me, because no matter what road that I walked down, he was always beside me, never giving up. Even if people, places, and things gave up on me, God never gave up on me. And I just want to keep doing his work. And we found a beautiful church here, beautiful pastor who accepts us for us. We can practice who we are, and we can still come and love God and cherish this and be able to worship and everything. We were asked to be here on time, but we have lots of kids to get ready. And ask us to be early for anything.
I think I better just pass to you.
My name is Delvin. I consider myself a Christian. Like Luann, I had a rough upbringing too, thrown in the system. but I lost my parents when I was younger, so it was even more a challenge to know that my family life was broken right from the get-go. And like Luann, I felt I lost my identity. I grew up in a community where I was pretty much judged every day, and waking up to shame and whatnot, and just feeling like, you know, feeling on the bottom. And I would go to church and everything, but my relationship with God was like an angry kid to his parent. I was like, you know, trying to find reasoning for my suffering. Being angry, you know, asking him why. Because I already thought that, you know, he was the only one who had the answers. I have 5 siblings, but we haven't grown together. We really don't even treat each other like brothers and sisters. So, yeah. We're separated from foster care. And this day, it's tough for us to have one-on-one, heart-to-heart conversations, and it hurts. But I'm faithful, you know, I'm still breathing. I lost one sister, but I'm still going to not give up. I'm still going to try to make amends. I just really didn't really know what to say, but I just came across this book, and but I prayed to God, and I said, help me get the words that I need to be saying. And this passage from James 1 to 2 to 18, it just explains what I want us to say. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer, for a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of a sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Christians who are poor should be glad, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should be glad, for God has humbled them. They will fade away like a flower in the field. The hot sun rises and dries up the grass. The flower withers and its beauty fades away. So also, wealthy people will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses the people who patiently endure testings. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to them who love them. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else's either. Temptations come from the lure of our own evil desires. Those evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who creates all heaven's lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. In his goodness, he chooses to make us his own children by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creations, become his choice possession. And with that said, is, you know, God is number one choice in my life right now. And given our circumstances, me and my partner are ready to receive God's love. Time to put the childish away. Time to stop arguing with our parents and start to, you know, embrace what he has given to us. We still understand that we'll have to face some more hardships in life, but we know that we are not going to do this alone. And thank you for listening to us.
I just want you to hear their clapping, like, super proud of you guys. And we are so honored that you be a part of us. Thank you so much for becoming a part of us. Thank you for enduring years of trouble. Some of it, what my people have done to your people, and that you'd have the grace to still want to be the same tribe. And you see us, we're this crazy mixed tribe, and we are who we are, and you're part of it. I want you to feel so completely invited to take your place here as mature people. Are you Anishinaabe? Are you Cree? You're a Cree girl. Say it.
I'm a Cree girl.
All right. How about this? I kind of feel like making you say, I'm a Cree girl and I love Jesus. Both are true. How about that? Can you say it?
What?
Come on, just humor me. Say, I'm a Cree girl and I love Jesus and there ain't no problem with that, or something like that. Come on, say.
I'm a Cree girl, I love Jesus, and there ain't no problem with that.
Elvin, when he's doing a welding course, when you finish that, buddy? When you finish that?
I graduated in June.
Okay, so he's a serious welder. Your first task is to create us a new baptismal tank, because as you'll experience in a few seconds, that one's pretty small. Can you just do an extension?
Yeah, because I think I might need to fit in there too.
All right, okay, we'll be working it. Okay, thank you so much, you guys. That was amazing. Why don't you go change and just get ready? Oh, for goodness sake, somebody show more to change there, okay? Yeah, just use the washrooms. John, can you show him? Okay, but go with Violet. That was so fun. Okay. Have to recover from that one. But no, we have more cool stories. Brad and Cora. Where are you guys? How you feeling, buddy?
Pretty good.
Pretty nervous?
Oh, yeah.
So Brad and Cora have been both part of the School of Justice this year, and we just had an amazing graduation. They shared some of their story there, especially Cora. But Brad, what do you have to say about, like, you and Jesus, whatever you want to say to them?
What do you mean exactly?
You sure you want to do this baptism thing? I mean, this is like a serious commitment to Jesus. Like, why are you going to do this, man? Let me try and persuade you not to. Let's go say, Brad, come on, you don't want to do this thing. What would you say to me?
I'd say that there's nobody that can convince me not to. It's something that I feel in my heart that's right, and that it's just time to put things from the past behind me and move forward.
Like what?
Like my anger, for instance, and all my past stuff I've used to hurt people, and way I've talked to people. And
you're not going to hurt them in any way? They need to know this because you're a big guy?
Oh, yeah, no, not at all.
They look at your tattoos, and what should they think when they see your tatties? Should I be scared of that guy? Or should they think, he is a past, and that's a teddy bear. Teddy bear is another option. Like, how do you want them to look at your past, man?
As just stuff that I can teach other people to learn from and that I've learned from myself.
So that is seriously amazing. Ain't nothing wrong with tatties, but occasionally there's people here that need to know the things that you've learned from your past. And that's really awesome. So think about his story here. Think about the things that you might want to take Brad out for coffee and say, tell me, Brad, like, what did you learn? Because I got to learn the stuff that you've learned. Is that okay? Do you mind if they just ask you stuff like that and learn from your story?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
They buy you a coffee, probably.
Yeah, I like coffee.
Brad, it seems like you're sure you want to do this thing.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
What often we talk about... What do you want to say no to? Well, you said anger. Anything else, you just want to go on the record right here and say, done, I'm done. By the grace of God, I'm leaving this behind.
Every kind of thing that I've ever done wrong before and stuff like that is what I want to say no to. Any kind of person that feels like asks me to sin, just say no to and leave that all behind me and just continue with God.
There was a really sweet moment in drop-in a few weeks ago when, like, Jimmy, I don't know if Jimmy's here, but he had a big problem with his finger. It was all burnt and everything. And here's Brad. Like, some of you meet Brad and Allie, you'd be scared. And it's such a stereotype. This guy is a serious, good, teddy bear, kind person now. And here he was on his knees, like wrapping Brad's, because he got some first aid stuff and you were wrapping his finger. And it was just a snapshot of a picture in my mind of big, tough Brad just like going down on his knees to serve one of our Main Street friends who was just injured. And dude, that is who you truly are. Who you were in your past, in your nasty side, I'm sure there's always a good side in there too, but who you were in the nasty side of your past, it's not your true self, Brad. Your true self is who you were when you were serving Jimmy there, helping him, and the way you love Cora, and the way you're fighting to get your kids back, and all that stuff. Your true self. I know they're agreeing with me. You've got a few hundred people saying, we are going to be a safe place around you for you to explore who you are in your true self, the part of you that loves and serves and is kind. And there's reasons why you were angry in your past. If they would know, they would go, okay, we get that. But there's also reasons why you can let that go, bro, and why you have, and why you're going under the water today to say, I'm done with that. Okay? I think this is just an amazing moment of saying, we're with Brad to reflect to him his true self, who he is as a kind man. Super proud of you, bro. Cora, can I just pass this to you?
I want to leave behind all the negative thinking, the judgments, and just, I want to be able to see the world in a different way than I used to. I want to be able to feel happy when I'm sad, or
be able to know that I'm never going to be alone, no matter what I go through. I want to leave behind the way I've always been, like the way I've treated people, or the way I've seen things, and
when you say that, Cora, I think of that guy that said to Jesus, like everybody thought he was panhandling because he used the typical line back then, like instead of "can you spare a loonie or a toonie" or whatever, they would say "have mercy, son of David," because that meant like give to the poor, right? Like have mercy, give me some cash here. But he didn't really want that. He was blind and everybody misunderstood him. And Jesus stopped the whole friggin' crowd and said, no, I want to hear him. And when Jesus asked again, he shoved the stereotype aside and says, "What do you want?" And he said the same thing that you just said. "I want to see." You want to see with new eyes, Cora. What do you want to see differently? Yourself, God, the world, what do you want to see?
I want to see the people around me differently and my community differently. I want to see God differently, myself, and just the way that I've been living. I want to see change, and I want to see the positive instead of the negative.
So this is an invitation. You who are part of her community, and that's pretty much everybody here, stand with her to see her, to help her see differently than her past. And Cora, you already see so beautifully. I look at the way that you've begun to see yourself and see God, and it's amazing to me. I solemnly call you as a community to walk with them as your sister, as your brother, in newness of life. And so much of their past is good and so much is not. That's what we're here to do, is just walk with each other until that's sorted and we all experience the love of God together like that. Anything else you want to say, Cora? Why are you doing this?
I wanted to become baptized because I wanted to be able to start a new life and to be able to kind of like refresh my life and be able to move forward with kind of like a clean slate, like to feel closer to God.
Okay, then. Better go get changed. Off you go, then. While they're just getting changed, and you guys too there, such a great day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and such a great way to do it, because the death and life of Jesus are always being reenacted. Going under the water is a symbol of death, symbol of dying to our old false self, that in Romans chapter 6 it says it needs to die. Can you guys relate? Are there things about your old life that just needed to be laid down, dead, kind of let go? What are those things for you? You heard a bit from these five. Jaden, it is, I admit, it's the sweetest thing for most of us to say that you want to start a whole new life again because, like, your old life, wait a second. You have an old life? Oh, yeah, I guess you do. How old are you again? Sorry? Yeah. Well, some of us that are like hitting 50 this summer might be thinking, you don't need a new life because, like, you're kind of just starting. But wait, no, I get it. You are leaving some things behind. And they can all relate, you know. Some of them might not be admitting it, but I think most of them are thinking about it right now. What's the stuff they, in their past, have to leave behind? So good on you, girl. You're going to leave some stuff behind. And there's newness, even when you're 10. So just think about this for a minute while they're changing. The moment where Jesus was baptized, I mean, you think what, he had a, like, he's like even, it's more weird than Jaden needing to be baptized. Like, Jesus had an old life too. It was a symbolic thing for her. Jaden, it is a very good thing that you're getting baptized. Don't misunderstand me there. It's awesome. For Jesus, he said, I want to identify with my tribe, my people. I'm part of them, and I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to go down into the waters of the River Jordan and up again as a symbol of the pathway that God is leading us all on. It's a path for all of us. What is your path like that? One thing that you need to know about the baptism of Jesus is that in the moment when he came up out of the water, like you'll see these five in just a minute, it said, the heavens were opened, and the voice of the Father spoke and said, this is my Son, who I love. And it began a journey for Jesus that sometimes we characterize in three phases: the river, the desert, the city. When you think of it, you go down into the water and you're completely surrounded for a second. It's like the water covers even over the top of your head, and it's almost like a womb. You're totally immersed in love. It's a symbol of being immersed in the love of God. Jesus himself heard this voice. Can you imagine the smile of Jesus as his face broke out the surface of the water, and he saw heavens open, and the Father said, I love you! You're my beloved Son! That moment changes everything. If you haven't had it, you need to have it. To know that you are completely immersed in being loved for who you are. Have you had that moment? But then, it said the Spirit himself led Jesus out of that immersion in the river to the desert. The desert is a place where you don't feel immersed. It's like the stories that we've heard of harshness a minute ago, where it feels like if you're loved, you could not tell that by your circumstances. That river that surrounded Jesus, that he was dumped all the way in, that river had to become a river of living water inside him, because it wasn't outside him. And some of you are there, you're in the desert, and you need to know that even though circumstances don't surround you with love, inside you is this river of living water. It's love. It's unconditional acceptance. If the first stage was about knowing the love of the Father for him, the second was about testing Jesus' love for the Father in the desert as the enemy came to tempt him. And finally, out of both the knowledge of the love of the Father for him and the testing and proving of his love for the Father, the Spirit led him into Capernaum, into the city, and there he did the works of God. The river, the desert, the city, the place of ministry. Don't be leaving. You got to see somebody baptize you, ladies. It's okay. Take a break. Okay, so makes sense? River, desert, city. That is the journey that these people are launching on. After we baptize them, every one of you, if you're a praying person, pray that they will have an incredible awareness of the love of God as their face comes out of the water. Pray that for them. And pray it for yourself if you don't have that yet. And then we'll gather in a few different spots here, just like they're doing there right now. And put your hands on their shoulder and pray that they will experience the love of God in that intense and immersive way here, and it will change their life forever, okay? And we'll be sharing pictures of what and words of what come to our mind as we do that and pray our blessing on them. Okay, if we're all changed, can I get those five here? Come on, Jaden. At this point, we're going to put the Apostles' Creed on the board, and would you say this with us? Come on, you guys. Don't be embarrassed. We've all been to a beach. All right, if you're going to stay here, well, I'm coming here then. But gather on, because I'm going to ask you these questions, and come and read with me. You can look on that. And why don't, if you believe this stuff, you guys, why don't you just say it with them as we read this together? Can you see that? There, Lou? Okay, you can just look off that. Do you renounce evil and commit your life to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Jesus Christ.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching, that's the scriptures, and the fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
So then we baptize you. Jaden, will do, if you can go behind and go up the stairs first.
Jaden, we've heard your story this morning. Do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior?
Yes. Yes.
Then, Jaden, upon your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Not that cold. It's intense for other reasons.
And do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior?
I do.
Then, Luann, upon your confession, I baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Elvin, climb in, bro. Until you weld us a new tank, this is what we got. Okay, I just have to notice his awesome shirt here. It says,
retry, restart, respond.
Nice. Never thought of baptism as respawning before, but there we go.
Nathan's telling us not to be wusses here. Okay, we'll try. I don't feel like a wuss. Do you feel like a wuss? Elvin, on the confession of your faith which you just gave, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, just as they're coming out of the water, let's get people that friends and family gather around them here. Come on, look, Luann's there. She's got some family. Let's have some people that pray for her and Jaden. Okay, Brad, get in there, man. And let's begin to pray for God's blessing on them to feel this, that sense of value that God has for them, that unconditional love. Yeah, just move over there a bit. Okay, big guy.
How are you feeling, Brad?
Pretty good.
Good. Upon the confession of your faith, I get to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Got it. Cora. Cora was the valedictorian for the School of Justice in the last, a week ago, and she spoke so eloquently, but we all know that if you listen to her, this is a very deep journey, but now it's a journey only 2 inches under the water.
Cora, upon the confession of your faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Cover your nose. There you go.
So all of you are free to just gather around, as we said. Make sure everybody is covered here. If you might not even know them, but if you have this sense that God is putting something in your heart for them, come around, join them, and share it. And yes, nice. Awesome. Woo! We're going to have the worship band back up as well. And I know many of you are touched by their stories like I am. And there's things that we need to hear and learn from those five stories. In particular about Christ. They just modeled to us Christ's death and his resurrection. And the things we're longing for our neighborhood and for each other. So if you want prayer for any reason, I'd like to just stay right up here for anybody that wants to pray. If you don't, if you're not connected to one of those groups right now, well, come here if you want some prayer. And let's get some more elders and house group leaders, etc., just to come and pray for people up with me here. And the band's just going to play. We'll kind of take this next little while to worship, pray for each other, bless each other, and celebrate. I want to say one more little thing. There's some of us that have stuff that others don't. If you're part of our community, we mess that up. There's some of even our folks who have been baptized today. They all have stuff to share, and we all need stuff. Not just stuff, but love, sharing our stories, sharing our resources, sharing our hope.
So mix it up with those ones who are baptized. They're part of us. Figure out what they have to share with you and what you have to share with them, because it goes both ways. You hearing me? I don't want to hear 3 months from now that just because Alvin and Luann have 10 kids that nobody's invited them to their house. Okay? So those that can, do. Yes, Ange, coffee is fine. Okay. Bless you guys. Let's worship and pray.
Joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter. I will not faint. He is my shepherd. I am not afraid. When the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of